Here's the reason that I asked these two individuals to come in that you're about to hear from. You never hear what you lose. You know, you hear what you got. You hear when it comes in, it's like, oh, you know, Amazon's coming to town. And we all high five. And it's great. It's absolutely great. But you never hear what you lose or that never considered you. And so I started thinking, okay, I've got to ask some people what could happen in light of this advancement of the transgender bill. You know, we're seeing on a national scale how this is playing out. And so two of the individuals in the community where I'm sitting right now, and they both understand business. They understand the power of business. And one is Charlie Johnson with the Fargo-Moorhead Convention and Visitors Bureau. Charlie, good to have you on.
Thanks, Joel. Happy to be here.
And the other one I've had on with me, but I've never got a chance to meet until now, so it's a real pleasure. Shannon Full joins us, and Shannon is the president and CEO of the Fargo-Moorhead West Fargo Chamber. So good to have you on as well, Shannon.
Good morning, Joel.
And thanks for coming in studio so I could enjoy the fact that, Charlie, you're outnumbered. There's two redheads here to none. Okay,
just it's a little frightening.
Yeah, there aren't many of us left, Shannon, so we got to enjoy it when we can.
One of my daughters-in-law is a redhead, so and also your sister's on our board.
Yeah,
I can't get away from it.
Shannon, I want to go back to what I said earlier, which is you never find out what you lost. You never find out what company said, you know what, I'm just not going there, or in Charlie's case, what event. But I'd like your take on that when you pass legislation that sends that type of signal.
Yeah, I think it's not even just the companies, it's individuals now, right? Our number one challenge that is facing our companies is they don't have enough people. So our ability to attract, not only just retain and develop talent, is a really critical issue. And so when we're talking about this idea that when we're making approaches to companies or individuals, we're bringing a regional brand externally out to try to bring people in. When we've got legislation that it appears to be, to some, is definitely in the minds of others, discriminatory, we're going to have a really tough time. So we know we've got major companies now that their core values, a part of their core values is diversity, equity, and inclusion. That means being able to have a welcoming and inclusive community, a welcoming and inclusive region, and a welcoming and inclusive state. So lots of times it won't be that companies are going to say, no, I'm not coming there because of this legislation. They're just going to not come. And they may put other reasons behind that. But I'm more concerned about the individuals and what message this sends to individuals that would like to be employed by Microsoft, but don't believe in those core values that the state has put forward.
And that's real. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely real, because there's people in my life that don't plan on coming back to work here because of signals like that. Charlie, we were talking about events, you and I on the phone the other day, and how some of these individual, for example, we always use it, but I don't care whether you use football, basketball, hockey, whatever. If that organization says no, if that's their policies, we're not going. Could that easily happen to us?
Well, you know, we've been accused of speculating on the floor of the Senate and in the committees. A lot of people said we were speculating about things that might happen, and you can't speculate about that. But then they go on to speculate about how, you know, some girl might lose her scholarship. Well, there's a certain amount of speculation here because nobody really knows what's going to happen. The NCAA, which I think you're referring to, has issued a statement strongly supporting diversity and inclusion and saying they didn't say what they were going to do, but they said they're looking very closely at it. Now, the people in North Dakota will tell you, well, this is only high school kids. It shouldn't bother them. It still might bother them. And if it does, look at all the things that happen here. Wait, did I just hear that both UND and NDSU are hosting playoff games? Yes. Well, if they decide they're not going to allow states that have restrictive policies to host playoff games, guess what's going to happen? Also, just a few weeks ago, we had the West Regional Division I hockey tournament. You and I have talked about this before. We've had it every other year. We've had it like three or four times, and it's booked for at least two more times here. That would go away if the NCAA took that stand. Yes, it's if. We don't know. So there's a certain amount of speculation to it. But there's vast precedent for it, especially if you look at what happened in North Carolina when they passed that transgender bathroom bill back in 2016, mm-hmm. I think that was. Mm-hmm. It's a very real possibility. And that's just one organization. I'm super concerned about USA Wrestling, which does the big USA Wrestling tournament every year here for the last 26 years, except for last summer when it got pulled, of course, because of the pandemic. If they decide they weren't going to do that, people have been trying to get that away from us for years. You know, this would kind of be a straw that would lead to that. local youth hockey groups deal with a broader affiliation. The swimming group, USA Swimming, is heavily involved overseas, doesn't oversee, but is part of the organization of the swimming groups that use the Hallbert Aquatic Center. We have, that's a wonderful facility. And if we turn it into nothing but a high school facility, that's going to be a sad moment for everybody. And the problem is we're doing it for no good reason, because all of these governing bodies have mechanisms in place to deal with this. Yes, they change them from time to time because they look at the evolving science, but they have it handled. That's who should be dealing with it.
Shannon, the chamber asked you to come here because you understood business, and they wanted you to expand business. They wanted you to help the businesses that are already here to succeed. If the type of events do pull the pin, they don't come here, which I don't think is speculation. Mm-hmm. I believe that certain organizations are going to be pressured, not just from their board of directors, but by advertisers and everything else, right? I mean, the Coca-Colas and the Pepsis of the world are going to say, no, if we're going to give you boatloads of money, we don't want you going to a state like that, which I don't think is speculation. And that doesn't mean we got to play in accordance with whatever they say, that the corporations either, but it will happen. So how does that affect your ability to succeed in this sense, that if I'm a bar out by Shields Arena and I know that the hockey tournament's coming, I'm going to have a good weekend, Shannon. I really am. I mean, how does it affect them?
Yeah, you can look at if you make the other analogy with COVID and how we didn't have any of these events because of that, right? You look at the indirect and induced effect, and I would say even the direct effect that that's been having on our restaurants, our bars, any professional services. There is just a there's a trickle down effect that will really be kind of elevated very quickly if we have this type of legislation. And I agree, Charlie, that this whole idea that this is speculation, it's got some pretty intentional, predictive, you know, kind of ideas behind it. So yeah, I think we're not seeing this just as a big corporation issue. I think that's the biggest thing to understand, right? Yes, our large corporations have, you know, core values and principles, guiding principles that follow where they expand, where they put locations. So there's some of that, and some of that is existing companies, right? So we need to keep our companies like Microsoft, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Bobcat, you know, so many others. And when they're saying we need people, it might even be they themselves are trying to recruit talent, and that talent is saying, I don't really want to go to North Dakota because of what I heard or what I read and saw recently in the media. But our small businesses, this is a small business issue as well. This is a big deal for if we can get one person hired at a restaurant or a bar, that's just as impactful as 100 people at a Microsoft. And so this does make a big difference, not to mention now more than ever, we need legislation that's going to help growth and prosperity of our small businesses, not ones that's going to hinder. And it should just be solely on the basis of the possibility of hindering this should be enough for us to not have the negative economic impact that this could cause, coupled with the very challenging negative regional brand that this puts on the state at a time that we are in a ridiculously globally competitive marketplace.
People, you know, excuse me just one second, Joel. People like to talk about the economic impact. And a lot of people have said to me, well, is it just, you know, is everything about the dollar? Shouldn't we be thinking about moral issues? Well, first of all, we're not taking a stand from a moral standpoint.
I will be as soon as you're gone. go ahead.
It's up to you. We're telling people, A, it's not necessary because it's being handled, and B, it's going to have a devastating negative impact economically. But it's a red herring for people to say, I think that, you know, we shouldn't do everything for the dollar. Well, when people were complaining about having to wear masks and the restrictions on restaurants, that was about the so-called almighty dollar, wasn't it? They were afraid that, and they were right. I mean, it was, these businesses were struggling because of it. So, yes, the almighty dollar, you know, sadly comes into play a lot of times in these instances.
That's not a bad thing.
It's the way you have to factor it in.
I mean, what you just said, I mean, that one person that gets a job. And here's the other part about, because you brought up about three times recruitment and retention of employees, how we can't find the employees to really raise to that even higher level of what we could do economically. A lot of times it's the second job. I mean, I've been recruited in my life to move to other states. And the first thing that came in mind was, what's Sue going to do? And when Sue got recruited to go to other states to work, the first thing that came in mind was, well, what am I going to do if we go there?
Well, that's a zero. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Charlie. I'd look for a job as easy as yours. Then what I would do is, you know, because those opportunities have to be there. I mean, there's got to be jobs. Well, in North Dakota, there's jobs if you want. So, all right, stick around. I got a lot more questions for you. Welcome back to the News and Views Radio Network. Charlie Johnson is with us. Charlie is the president and CEO of the Fargo-Moorhead Convention. I'm just going to say the boss for these guys. And Shannon Full is the boss when it comes to the chamber here, which actually covers four. I can include Dilworth in that, but there's, I don't want to miss Fargo, West Fargo, you know, the whole shebang.
We have West Fargo.
Moorhead, too. So. Yeah, okay, yeah. Good.
We cover much the same ground.
Let's just say one understands tourism really well and conventions, and the other one business and trying to find those workers. If Doug Burgum were listening to you right now, if and he doggone might be. I'm not lying to you. Just through ego here, I think he might be. Shannon, what would you say directly to him why he should bring out his veto pen on this bill?
I think it would just be that we've got there are numerous reasons why this isn't good for the state of North Dakota, but sheerly on the basis of economics, there is hardcore data around economic loss that this bill would bring. Not to mention that I know Doug is really motivated by the regional brand, the state brand. How do we elevate that brand? He's also very competitive. So how do we make sure we stay globally competitive in a very, very challenging marketplace? So there are numerous reasons. So hopefully he has the courageous will to veto this bill.
Charlie, what would you tell him?
Well, I would say all of those same things, and I would also remind him, as he gets reminded every day, I'm sure, that in 2020, the travel and tourism industry in North Dakota lost $1.2 billion over the previous year. Hotel room revenue across the state averaged 37.5% down. Here in Fargo, it was 39.5% down from 2020. We're finally having a comeback of sorts. We're hovering around 50% occupancy now. Last year at this time, it was 15%. And this is driven largely by sports right now because the meetings industry is slower to come back. This is driven by youth sports in particular and some NCAA events. We just did an economic impact study with the Dome that shows how vast the impact is from these events. So I would tell him again, as I will in the letter I'm going to send to him this afternoon, signed by myself and at least four other CVB people, that in a year when we're trying to come back from devastating losses and in a year when the legislature has recognized this and is about to put more money into marketing the state on the tourism side than it ever has before, thank them for that. I appreciate that. Why would we do something that would counteract that and basically throw a wrench in the way of inviting sporting events to this community?
Well, in his particular case, I would also add this, Shannon, it never hurts to have neighbors close that are of that same political ilk. Like when Kristi Noem vetoed this in South Dakota, that has to give Doug Burgum some of the cover he needs, I would guess.
Yeah, I think it will just, what it really does is it plays out a little bit with a little bit of crystal ball of what other states are doing and are kind of saying, okay, we can't do this. And so it sets a precedence, but at the same time, I'm hopeful that the governor will see through his own merits of all of these different aspects, the reasons to veto it as well.
Well, he understands business. Mm-hmm. He understands job startup. He's hired a lot of people in his life. And the one thing that's crystal clear about Microsoft is the national position by Microsoft is pretty open in terms of we need good, intelligent workers. And why in the world would we exclude anyone or their children from being able or be welcome here? I don't get that.
Right. And Microsoft was very vocal on this. So this is an issue that it's often difficult to get companies to come out and really state their opinions on this. But if you go back and look at the testimony, Microsoft did put in testimony that said this would be very disadvantageous to them, both from their ability to attract talent, recruit talent. But the other side of it for them is just the talent that they currently have, keeping them here in a state where they may not see that's beneficial for them.
Well, I just want to cite the one case that probably the one competition, the one student athlete high school competition that caused this uproar here in North Dakota. I think we need to be fair and point that out, where the problem existed and where it showed itself. Oh, there isn't one. There wasn't one, ladies and gentlemen. There was no problem. This is in search of a problem. There was no competition that was lost to a transgender student here in North Dakota. And we're going to pay the price. We're going to pay for it. You got a little more time, Shannon, because I want to talk to you about jobs as well yet. And Charlie, what the upcoming schedule is. So stick around, folks. It's looking for a problem. The High School Activities Association has a policy. I mean, take the time to trust them. You do every day when you walk into that gym. It's one of those days where you have absolutely great conversations in between segments, and I wish that we just didn't. I wish we could always stay on air with you folks. We can't, but I still kept Shannon Full here and Charlie Johnson, one the boss of the FM Convention Visitors Bureau, and the other the chamber here in town. Shannon, what keeps coming up is the perception that business could have of our communities. Not just Fargo-Moorhead. I realize we're talking about that, but in bringing regional business in. And I keep stressing the fact that we won't know. You guys, you know, point out, no, you do know certain things. You do have a chance to point that out. But how many times does a business look at a town like this? In the world that you've grown up in, the reason that they asked you to come to town and run this, and you never really know. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, we got to put something together here versus nope. You know, how many times does the public actually get to know how close we were to something that never happened?
So very few times, right? So this is the challenge about economic development in general, and my good friend Joe Raso at the EDC would know more than I about this. But the reality at the end of the day is you get your heads up on, you know, maybe 5% of the opportunities, right? Other opportunities will come to you generally through visitors, actually. It's when people visit an
Thank
area.
You.
that they visit.
Charlie's still smiling.
Charlie didn't even pay me to say that. But it's where people come to visit an area first. Then they say, oh, I could see myself in this area, right? And then they make the outreach to form a business. But the other side of this is, so that's on the recruitment side of it. What I am just equally as concerned about is how we retain these companies. That is the competition that is way more cutthroat than the attraction side of it. Those big projects, the Amazons of the world, those are like once in 25 year type projects, right? Those are big deals. But when you're looking at companies here, mid-sized companies that have great growth trajectory or are large companies, on a daily basis, they are getting incentives and reasons to leave the state and go elsewhere or expand in other states instead of expanding here in our fabulous state of North Dakota. So that's the challenge that you really face, is those are the realities. Those are much more visible. What's even more hidden is when companies decide to leave. You don't know until it's too late. You don't know that this is the reason. They may not even tell you that I just can't handle the discriminatory types of legislation that's being put together. And I will tell you, there are companies that are saying that. This is very against our welcoming and inclusive nature. And at a time that we are the country and should be so super sensitive about what are we doing around being more welcoming, intentionally being more welcoming and inclusive. That's what concerns me with all of this.
I'm going to take it another place too and get your take on this, because you know, I think NDSU and UND, I'm so proud of them as a North Dakotan who has had seen my taxpayer dollars and my tuition dollars go towards these fine research institution facilities. You know, when you see the dictate coming out of Bismarck of what these places can do with challenge grants and their research departments, and that coming from the legislature down to the institution, you know, because you just mentioned to Charlie, visitors, there's people that come to these institutions that never thought they'd make North Dakota home, but they do because of this, and they end up falling in love with our area, thank God, or they fall in love and they stay. And so, you know, my question of you is this: when they inject themselves into higher education like they have this session. What does that mean to the business community?
It means everything. This is where I really commend the leadership of the legislature, because there are really great legislators that are seeing that this is all intermingled and intertwined, right? The ability for our state to be successful, to have growth and prosperity, is that we are making sure that we're investing in tourism, we're investing in higher education, especially those research grant dollars. And there's some other big legislation right now around research dollars and where those are going to end up. And are we going to be able to lean into? We're at a time now that everyone says unprecedented. I can't, you know, that's not a term I like to use. But how are we capturing these federal stimulus dollars and investing them to allow us to continue to be competitive at a time that we will never see this type of investment from the federal level again, right? So what is the intentionality behind that? And realizing that it's all, if we look to how tourism plays into this from an economic development stance, so does higher education, you know, so does small business development. Those are all pieces that are exciting to me. And I think that we are just have a tremendous opportunity, but also our legislators have a tremendous responsibility, unlike other times, to make the right decisions on this.
Charlie, she mentioned it. You bring people in,
of course,
they're going to love it.
Yeah, and that's the important thing that we've been trying to impress upon the legislature for the last four or five sessions, is that that marketing the state for tourism doesn't just market the state for tourism. It markets the state for every single thing. It markets it for economic development, especially the same way it does for tourism. Because as Shannon said, very few people move here without visiting. A famous CVB director in our circles anyway, a gal named Maura Gast, put out a really good paragraph that ends with, it all starts with a visit. People visit a place, they see a place they want to live. And if you find a place that people want to live, then business needs to be there because that's where people want to live. And all of these things just follow one right after the other. So it's everything that's done to promote the state from a tourism standpoint is promoting exactly the same things that Shannon's promoting for business development, the same things Joe Raso and the EDC are promoting for business development. They're selling the lifestyle of being here just as much as they are the economic incentives of what brings your business here.
Okay, I got one for you guys. Coming from a town of 100 people, actually it was 98, and my family was 1/10 of the population. So it's that small of a town, which now hails around 70, you know, and it continues to decline, you know, in terms of population. But I was there on Friday night, or Saturday night. I was there at a 25th wedding anniversary. And one of my friends that I grew up with told me that one of our other friends had come back. He had a business startup in Missouri that was highly successful. He had a number of different places. Came back to see Manator and said, why don't we put one of my regional places here? He manufactures. Mm-hmm. He assembles is what he does. And he said, it's not going to be a lot of employees. It'll be, you know, four, maybe five employees, but why not? You got water, you got sewer, you got land. And so when you say that it starts with that visit, when you say it starts, I mean, Shannon, that's, if you bring five full-time jobs into my little town, we're high-fiving and we're buying drinks for these guys for a long time.
That's huge.
Yeah.
And all of these companies start with one or two or five jobs. And then, you know, look at, I was looking at all of these different companies here that are great stories of how things are growing. You look at, I have to rename, we're just down in Wahpeton for the Dreams. We were just talking about this in NCDS. And you look at WCCO down there and what they've done and how they've grown. That started somewhere, right? All of these can start somewhere. It's just, we want them to start here in North Dakota.
Ed Sherman. Look at the successive son, and they've taken it to a different level. This isn't just, boy, you were born on third base and you thought you hit a triple. I mean, they've grown this company.
Yeah.
You
know? Tom's company is amazing. Yeah,
exactly.
It's amazing.
Yeah, there are all sorts of stories like that.
So the governor, it's on his desk. Have you gotten any indication? I mean, he's going to have to make a decision sometime soon.
You know, no one.
No one knows when he's going to.
No one knows until he picks up the
pen. You know, here's the bad thing about it, from my perspective, is you have a situation where there's been some, for me personally, there's been some bad legislation folks that have gone to his desk. And you can only veto so many of them. Mm-hmm. You can. So understand that. So if you want to help these two individuals, if you want to help North Dakota's business community, if you want to see it from that perspective, I'll give you a perspective of why you should look at it the other way. But if you want to look at strictly in terms of jobs and economic activity, I think they've given you plenty of reason why you should dial a 328-2200. And the ladies at the front desk are going, thanks a lot, Joel. 328-2200 and tell the governor to veto this. You know, we just had a great conversation about the business side, the economic side of this transgender bill. And I'm not going to hide what I'm doing. I mean, you're pretty bright people, folks that listen to the News and Views Radio Network. This is about jobs. This is about making sure that we put Doug Burgum in a position where he knows that we have his back and that we encourage him to veto this bill. I believe that Doug Burgum will veto this bill. I do. He's doing certain things to appease the Yana Murdahl crowd, the Ben Koppelman crowd. Those, if you want faces of what's happening here, those are two individuals that you can put behind what they've put North Dakota in danger of becoming. They are. But it goes beyond that. It really does. And if you think that some of these legislators aren't afraid, you're wrong. And let me give you an example. The chairman of District 24, now that's Valley City, ladies and gentlemen. Valley City, the Republican chairman of District 24, Daniel Johnston, asked for, in a meeting over the weekend, he asked for Representative Kiefert's resignation. So you've got a Republican legislator that served that district, and I voted separate of many times, right? You've got a Republican representative who didn't meet the litmus test of the far right-wing chairman, and they voted for censure. And they asked for his resignation because he had voted to tell Luke Simons you had to go home, that you couldn't treat women this way. And so because of the fact that he wouldn't support Luke Simons and what he was doing to women out in the legislature, he was asked to turn his keys in at the district convention. Now, I'm going to do this one more time so people understand the political process in North Dakota, because they act as though, and 99% of the people don't get politically active, right? You don't want to. And I respect that. I understand it. But you have two political parties, for the most part, in North Dakota. You have the Republican, you have the Democrat, not many Democrats in the legislature anymore. I understand that. I don't like it, but I understand it. But those two parties nominate candidates to be on the ballot in the fall. Now, granted, there's a primary process that you have to go through there, and we saw what happened to Governor Burgum's. You know, we saw what happened with all that. But you can have, I have seen district conventions where people are nominated for these positions on the ballot with as few as 30 people in the room. And a big district convention, a big one, has 100 people in the room. So think about that. If you know you're going to vote Republican, no matter what, you're of that Donald Trump ilk of, look, I support this president, I'm going to vote Republican all the way down the ballot, and you're sitting there and 100 people, and more likely 30 people, have decided who you are going to vote for, because no matter what, you're going to vote for them. You won't tear apart that candidate. You won't sit there and say, okay, yes, no, yeah, wait a second, that's a mark against, that's a mark for. All you wanted was that letter behind the name. So here you sit, ladies and gentlemen, here you sit with the candidate being dictated to you by individuals like the one I just described in Barnes County. And that's why it's happening, because the litmus test is whether or not you believe in things like transgender kids being able to compete in sports, because that's the biggest issue in North Dakota.